Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And that's his streaming thing.
You got some stank under there. You went below from a below and came above.
I'm feeling good. I had some Reese's Puffs.
Oh, we did just enjoy bowls of Reese's Puffs.
I was in this kitchen.
The best cereal?
I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch would have something to say about that.
I did have Cinnamon Toast Crunch in there. Did you not see it?
I saw, but I was like, I'm really craving the puffs right now.
Yeah. There's something about a good puff.
I want to puff a Reese right now. Somewhere out there, Reese is listening. Ooh. Like, okay.
You mentioned Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We'll get to movie soon. But you mentioned
probably
Cinnamon
not.
Toast Crunch. I was in Nashville the last couple days for work.
Go on.
And in my hotel room, I was like, you know, I'm feeling snacky.
Okay.
So I went down to the lobby because usually they have like little Snickers bars or something you can get, you know, right? I was feeling snacky. I go down there. What did they have? Cinnamon Toast Crunch cheesecake.
What?
Yeah.
You're like cheesecake covered in toasted crunchies?
Well, it was like a cinnamon cheesecake, but then they also had the Cinnamon Toast Crunch little bits.
Uh-huh.
And then you open up the ramekin and you like pour them on to your liking.
Whoa.
And then
can I have two ramekins?
Here's the deal sealer, right? There was a little dollop of creme.
Oh, like from Inglourious Basterds?
Wait for the creme. And then you would take your little slice. You would put a Cinnamon Toast Crunch flake on there and then dip it in the creme. Delightful.
Back to our Inglourious Basterds coverage for just a moment. Somebody in the Discord, I think, pointed out, it might have been Patreon, that there's another insidious aspect to that. The take that he knows that it's her the whole time, which I honestly, as much as I love that movie, it never occurred to me.
Wait for the cream.
That the cream has pig fat in it, which is obviously not kosher.
Oh.
And so that's why he's so insistent on that.
Okay.
And he's just being an asshole.
Never would have picked up on that. Wow.
No, I didn't even know there was pig fat in cream.
I didn't either.
I thought it was a vegetarian.
What else is pig fat in?
Who knows?
Is it in this hoodie? It's me.
It might be. You're Knuff, though. I know
I
that.
I am Knuff. Thank you.
So, yeah, I'm feeling good. I was in your kitchen. I said, hey, Steve, can I have a bowl of Reese's Puffs? I have something to impose upon you. Because the box wasn't even open yet. The milk jug wasn't open yet. But I was like, I'm hungry. I woke up and just came straight here. And Steve looked at me for a long moment. And said, sure, but only if I can have a bowl as well, which is it's his Reese's Puffs.
Hey, we shared bowls of cereal together. We are truly brothers now.
I think that's the first time we've eaten together since
Hot Ones.
Hot Ones, yeah. I was going to say, what was that fucking restaurant we went to in L.A.? Where you had the
Jimmy Traub's clam show.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the clam show.
Or Jerry Traub.
Yeah, one of the Traubs.
Yeah.
One of the Traub brothers.
What was that place called? That was like a paparazzi restaurant.
Yeah, Rich's or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, one of them. It was cool. We pretended to be celebrities. Not right now.
They hated us.
We had to dodge the paparazzi.
They at one point took our candle away from us.
He did. Yeah. Shitted on us.
Shitted upon.
They didn't know we had streaming things money in there ready to spend.
No, I mean, we were just in our own merch, so they should have known.
And we were.
We were decked out head to toe in our own.
The waiter might merch. Be listening, though. We got a fan that day.
That's true, yeah. I hope hey, he's buddy. Doing okay. I
hope you're doing well. I know you've been on strike for a while because he was also an actor. But yeah, today's episode, we're going to be talking about some underrated horror movies. How do we define that word? I got to be honest. I don't typically like that word.
Why don't you like that word?
I don't like phrasing something. This is going to sound pretentious. I don't like phrasing it in a way. It's none of my business how you relate to art. Mm-hmm. And so when you say something is overrated specifically, I hate when somebody says that movie's overrated. What you're saying is other people like this movie too much. That's a dumb.
How dare you?
That's a dumb thing to say.
I like the thing you like more.
Yeah, I hate it. But underrated at least has a positive spin. Like, this deserves more credit. I think this is a gem, you know.
Yeah, this is worthy of your time. Maybe you haven't heard of it yet because it doesn't have the word of mouth.
Sure. So I do think it's a more positive spin. It's underrated is acceptable. But it's also just in the discourse, it's the only way to say it, right? Mm-hmm. Underseen, underappreciated, it's underrated, right? Now, how we define these, it's nebulous. You know, diehard horror fans are going to be like, these are surface level. Holy shit. I hate this podcast. These are not underrated at all. That might be fair. So what
four
I did.
Four stars, sophomore misogyny.
Exactly. I tried to pick a few. And a few of these I saw, two of these I saw like this month in my horror binge. So they were underknown to me.
So they're recent watches.
Yeah. And a couple of them are like old favorites from the last few years. They're all of the all of these came out in the last 3 years, except for one. So there's a chance you maybe have not seen them. But that's how I defined it. Like, didn't perform well at the box office or are just so much better than you would normally hear someone talk about them. Right. So there's a couple different ways I approached this. Also with very little effort, to be fair, to be honest. But the whole shtick here, we're thinking Steve doesn't really like horror movies. Mm. So I'm going to try to convince him to watch one of these specifically, but any of them will do. And with the bent that I think he will enjoy them.
Woo me, Chris.
One of them I know for a fact you will not enjoy.
Okay.
But I did want to talk about it.
I want you to watch this movie that you're going to hate.
Well, no, I just it's if I was going to pick one, this would not be the one.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
And then you have at least one, right? You came up with maybe an underrated horror.
Yeah, I have one. This is hard because we're getting close to Halloween, so we wanted to do more Halloween stuff.
Old Hallowsween.
Hallowsween. So we had this idea of like coming up with underrated horror films. When I sat down, I realized like I don't really watch a lot of them, and the ones I would suggest are like there's this little Chris. I don't know if you've heard of this gem. It's called Friday the 13th.
Ooh,
it's that kind of stuff, right? So I thought, you know, I have one that I think applies, but really, I think this would be a great opportunity for Chris to educate me on the genre.
Okay, I'll do my best.
And actually, real quick, Chris, you said something. I'm sorry, I'm saying Chris because you're on the Filmcast last week. Go check it out. Search for the Filmcast with David Chen and all those guys.
Checking out at DaVinci Hardware.
But Kit, you got to be on there. Dave refused to call you Kit. It was quite hilarious.
He did. Dead named me.
But you, what was the movie you guys reviewed?
When Evil Lurks.
When Evil Lurks. I know I listened to your review and I was actually like, oh, well, now I kind of want to see what they're all talking about.
It's a fucked up movie.
Sounds rough.
It is. It comes out on Shudder on the 27th, if you're interested in watching it, Steve. Mm-hmm. I think you'll be okay. Did you listen to the like spoiler review part?
Yes,
and everything?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounded interesting to me. I like lore.
Some good lore.
Yeah, I like lore. But you said something in that review that I was like, oh, you know, goddamn, that Kit Laser, he's got it going on, you know?
Mm.
You were talking about, you know, we call these movies horror movies, but very rarely do we watch them and we are in horror. Like when we watch them, we just watch them to be scared, but we're not horrified.
Sure.
And I thought that was a very important distinction.
Yeah.
Like of why people like enjoy horror movies is they like to be scared, but very, very often do we like to feel horrified.
Yeah.
And I think like in a fucked up way, the scary movies, quote unquote scary movies that I typically like respect but don't ever want to watch again are the ones that leave me horrified.
Yeah.
Whereas the ones that are actively trying to scare me, I'm like, you can't get me.
Can't get me?
You can't get me. I'm a big, tough man. I'm the guy that goes into the haunted houses and I feel bad for the actors trying to scare me because they ain't going to get me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an interesting thing. Obviously, all of film is subjective. Mm-hmm. But horror specifically, people, you have to surrender, right? Like, you can go in. If I say to you, Steve, this is the scariest movie ever made. You can't help it. Even if you're an open-minded, want to enjoy life kind of person, part of you is going in skeptical.
Yeah.
And so
Kit says this was scary, but he's a big old wuss.
Yeah. A part of you is going to resist, right? To prove that wrong or mm-hmm. to actively try to not be scared, or your expectations are going to be too high. And I think that that's interesting. So a lot of people, especially on like, you know, TikTok and stuff in the comments, if I say a movie is incredibly scary, they're going to comment, I can't believe that was scary. That wasn't scary at all. I went to see it because you said it was scary and it wasn't scary.
Loser.
Now, part of it is like, maybe it wasn't scary to you. Everything's subjective, especially fear. But at the same time, it's like, I think you went in trying to prove me wrong and had a bad experience. And that sucks for you because you could have had a great experience if you'd have been more. So there's like a willing suspension of disbelief to all films, all stories. But I think horror has its own thing where like you really got to go in with a complete surrender. And there's certain things in horror that can take you out. Like, oh, why would they go in that room? Like, so obviously they should have ran out the front door. Characters making stupid decisions in horror for plot reasons really bothers me. Mm-hmm. That's like my pet peeve with horror. But other than that, just try to stay in. You know what I mean? And I think you'll have a good time. Now, if you have to check out for safety and trauma reasons, like mentally kind of check out of something because it's really fucking with you, I understand that.
Absolutely. Do that. Your mental health is more important.
But there's none of the ones on my list are especially graphic or disturbing in the way that something like Martyrs or The Sadness or Speak No Evil or When Evil Lurks are. So there's no like major trigger warnings or anything on my list.
Okay.
I feel pretty comfortable about that for the most part.
I'm gonna put it out here right now.
Put it out there.
I'm gonna put it out here right now.
Lay it on the table.
If you are any of these films you suggest to me, whichever one sticks out the most or the most interesting, I promise I will watch it this week.
Okay.
And I will come back.
I know the one you're going to watch, and that is the one I recommend the most.
Okay. And I will come back next week and let you know how I like it.
In fact, I'll start with it right now.
Oh, you don't wanna build up to that?
No.
Because then it'll be all downhill from there for me. Like, oh, well, I'm not going to watch that one you just said. That's stupid.
Okay, I'll lead up to it. I would lead up to it
because you might, I might surprise you. You might be like, this one's about people getting tortured, but there's a fox that also murders kids. I'll be like, oh, that one.
A fox?
Yeah.
What does it say, though?
That's the plot synopsis for Fantastic Mr. Fox, if it was a horror film.
I'm going to start with the lowest hanging fruit, though. Okay. Then probably the least likely for you to watch it. I don't even heavily recommend it, but at the same time, I do. It's a 2008 film. It's the only one that didn't come out in the last 3 years.
Okay.
It's called Lake Mungo. Have you heard of this?
No, I have never heard of this. Lake Mungo?
Lake Mungo. It's an Australian film, as I recall, written and directed by Joel Anderson.
That's a very Australian title.
Like
Mungo.
Lake Mungo. G'day.
A dingo ate your baby at Lake Mungo.
The thing that's interesting about Lake Mungo is it's sort of a found footage movie, which I do not like the genre of found footage for the most part. There's a movie called Wreck that is a wonderful found footage movie as far as found footage goes. Very effective, very scary. I like The Blair Witch Project.
It's classic.
I enjoy the original.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield's good. I don't love it as many as I know sci-fi buffs are like, Cloverfield.
Dude, where'd you get that footage of me?
Watching Cloverfield.
That was private.
His name's Hud.
I do like Cloverfield. I like 10 Cloverfield Lane more. I have a lot of hot takes like that. I like the...
10 Cloverfield Lane's great.
The 2013 Evil Dead... I think it's the best Evil Dead. It's not even close. I know that's a super hot take. And there's a hot take on this list that I have as far as the legacy sequel goes.
Can't wait.
But Lake Mungo is kind of a found footage, but it's more a mockumentary.
Okay.
So it pretends to be a documentary about a ghost, you know, in this town, after the death of a young lady. Strange things start happening after a girl is found drowned in a lake, is all the synopsis says.
It's so vague.
Yeah. So it's an untimely death of a teen girl. And then the family believes that the teen girl's ghost has been haunting them. And then they're making a documentary about it. And that's what the movie is. And so it's very methodical. It's very plodding. It's very slow. I didn't love it, but I do like that it works at all. I never thought of, there's another movie people bring up a lot that I've never seen when it comes to this, but I'd never seen a mockumentary take itself seriously and be a horror in the way. Like when I think mockumentary, I think Parks and Rec,
yeah.
The Office, What We Do in the Shadows. Those are really, that's a genre rife for comedy.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of it being horror. And I do think there's a huge section of people.
So is it funny at all?
No, not even a little bit.
Okay. So it's just a fake documentary.
Yeah.
It's scary. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, you know, they'll set up a camera with static shots and you'll see some stuff moving in the background. And
ooh, that's cool.
A lot of people were really creeped out by that kind of shit.
It's kind of like, so it's kind of like a Paranormal Activity, but if there was like a narrative documentary centering all the found footage type stuff that Paranormal Activity does.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes. It's these documentarians, they interview a lot of the people in this town.
A Blair Witch Project is also kind of that as well.
Exactly.
Right?
That's why it's kind of a found footage, but it's specifically been recut as a documentary, you know, ostensibly.
Yeah. Unlike the Blair Witch Project, the filmmakers live to go and do post-process editing on the documentary.
Sure. And it's like, okay. And I think the people that are going to love this movie are the people, and there's a huge audience for this, that are like obsessed with true crime documentaries, people that are obsessed with like Investigation Discovery, the network, you know, there's a huge audience for that shit. True crime podcast. Cause it has that vibe in that it, you know, ostensibly purports to be real. But it's not, it's a horror movie. So that I think, even though it's not my cup of tea, I really respect it. And I watched it for the first time recently on a lot of people's recommendations. It's called Lake Mungo.
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 I love the tagline for this movie.
What's the tagline?
If you've never seen a ghost, look closer.
Oh, my tagline says, in 2008, Alice Palmer died. Her nightmare didn't.
Ooh, that's way better than the one I just read.
Look closer.
If you've never seen a ghost, well, I don't know, just fucking look harder, I guess.
You sounded like, fuck. I'm the eldest boy. What's his name? Oh, you don't watch Succession. God damn it.
I'm the eldest boy.
L to the OG. Ain't we playing? Anyway.
Lake Mungo. All right. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. That does sound kind of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little interested in that.
I think there's going to be one. The one I'm banking on, and there's a very specific reason I know it's the one you're going to pick.
I'm looking at the poster, and because I don't know anything about these movies, and I'm just going to vamp a little on the few details that you've given me and what I'm seeing on IMDb. I'm looking at the poster. It's a pretty interesting poster, but the text is Lake Mungo. Lake is bold.
Sure.
And only the M in Mungo is bold.
Yes. What's with the Ungo?
What's with the Ungo? Is there something important with the Ungo or the M?
Is there a sinister Ungo afoot? Ooh. Perhaps.
Does the M actually go upside down and become a W and it's a Wungo?
You have to watch to find out.
Okay.
A Wungo ate my baby.
Hey, that's offensive. That woman lost a child. What's your next one?
My next one is a film from last year that I loved.
Recency bias.
Written and directed by, co-written and directed by Chloe Acuno. It's called Watcher. Have you heard of Watcher, Steve?
No, I have not.
I may have talked about it on my favorite of the year list at some point or something, but it stars Micah Monroe, who is the main actress from another of my favorite horror movies that if you love it or you hate it.
Yeah, you did follows. Talk about this. Yeah, you did talk about this on the podcast. Okay, yeah, I remember you talking about this.
It's in the Micah Monroe gets stalked by an entity universe. But it's a really grounded, sensational, again, another methodical horror movie. But this one has like the perfect ending, I believe. I love it so much. The synopsis on IMDb says a young American woman moves with her husband to Bucharest and begins to suspect that a stranger who watches her from the apartment building across the street may be a local serial killer decapitating women.
Don't lose your head.
Talk about this on the show a couple years ago or last year or whatever, because when she goes to Bucharest, like, she doesn't speak the language. Mm-hmm. And Andy made fun of me. He's like, are you sure you just didn't turn on the subtitles again? Because I've done that before where it's a long story. And so you, the audience, don't know what everybody's saying either, because it puts yourself in her POV. And it's like this terrifying thing where, like, you're a young woman. You don't feel safe. There's a killer afoot. You're in a strange country. You don't speak the language at all. And nobody's, like, being nice about it and speaking English around you or anything, or, like, trying to help you. And you just kind of confused and nervous.
That's such
at
a good
all
device to use for tension, because we talked about that in Glorious Bastards as well. Like, the language barrier is a great tool you can use to create tension.
Yeah, and so it's just really disconcerting for her to, like, try to feel safe and try to navigate this situation, but she's in Romania, I think, and it doesn't know what's going on. What anybody's saying could be saying, "I'm gonna kill her in a second," and she's just like, "Uh huh, okay,
you know, okay."
But that's a movie that really stood out to me that I do want to recommend to more people. I know a lot of people were recommending it last year, but just in case you missed it, check out Watcher.
What else is Micah Monroe in?
Micah Monroe is stalked
it follows
in three different movies, I think.
The Fifth Wave. Wow.
Okay. I haven't seen that, but I know what you're talking about.
Independence Day Resurgence. She's Bill Pullman's daughter.
Haven't seen that movie either. Heard it was not worth my watchings.
It is not.
But now I kind of want to watch it because I love Micah Monroe.
Ooh, It Follows has a strangely low IMDb score.
People fucking hate It Follows, or they love It Follows. I am in the latter camp.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
I always thought that was a movie that most people loved.
Yeah, because all your cool friends do.
Yeah, it's true. I do have a lot of cool friends.
But if you bring that movie up online, people really feel strongly against the movie, which is weird.
Interesting.
Just to me.
I mean, I don't have a dog in that fight. I haven't seen it.
I love David Robert Mitchell. I'm also a big fan of Under the Silver Lake, another of his movies, which is not a horror movie, or it would be on this list. Damn it, because that's underrated as fuck.
Chloe Okuno, the director, also has some big titles under her belt as well.
Let the Right One In. Micah was in Honey Boy.
What's Honey Boy?
It's that movie that Shia LaBeouf lied about. It was supposed to be, like, semi-autobiographical, and then when he got sober, he was like, yeah, none of that was true. My dad's not abusive.
Oh, okay. Yep.
That's and everybody was like, what?
What?
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf would lie?
What, did you say Let the Right One In?
Yeah. The TV show.
The TV show. I was like, what? Sorry. That doesn't Sorry, mean, she's not a Swedish.
Sorry, the TV show.
She was a guest director on VHS 94. I never saw any of her short films. I believe Watcher was her directorial debut of a full movie, and a strong one.
You go, girl.
Feature film debut, baby.
All right. That's, you know, that sounds like an interesting choice as well. I would not be mad if I chose that one.
You would enjoy it, but that's not the one you're going to pick. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I think from a filmmaking perspective, you might rather watch, like, Mungo just to see what that's like. But I think that's a little, for me, it was a little slower. I wouldn't, like, pick that one to be like, oh, you're gonna have a great fucking time.
You're really selling me on Lake Mungo.
I'm just being straight honest.
It's honestly a piece of shit.
I'm so confident in my actual winner. You know what I mean?
Okay. How many do you have? Just so I can keep track.
I chose five.
Okay. At number four, I'll tell you mine.
And
you tell your four, I'll tell my
okay.
Mine. Okay.
The next one I picked is a cheating, and it's definitely not gonna be.
It's cheating.
It's not gonna be picked for that.
How
reason.
Do you cheated this?
It's a trilogy.
Okay.
You kind of got to watch all three. I'm sure many of you listening have seen this. Underrated, what do you mean? It's the Fear Street trilogy that was on Netflix came out in 2021. I've talked about this on the show a lot.
You love it.
They drop these movies, I think one a week for a few weeks or something. But they're all feature films. And I just think it's underrated in the sense that it's because it was on Netflix, it kind of just got dropped and forgotten. Like, oh, that was fun. But I really think this is one of the best things we've done this decade in the horror genre so far. It's like such a really effective, smart homage to the slasher genre. But is in it, even in an isolated way, like if you just look at the films themselves, not outside of what they're referencing, it's still effective. Like, it's a really good slasher. And I know you're not a slasher guy, mm-hmm. But it's so fun. Like, this is what slashers can be. Like, the scares are effective. There's some jumpy jumps. There's some, like, do that. Don't go in there. There's just some really cool, gruesome kills and body horror. There's fucking great lore, Steve.
Oh, I love lore.
It's three movies long. They all reference each other. And, like, it's kind of like a show or a limited series in the sense that, like, oh, that's how the curse got started. Like, reveal in the third movie or whatever. But they each reference the decades that they're in, like 1994. It's got like a Scream vibe. And then my favorite of the trilogy is the second film. It's Fear Street Part 2, 1978, which is obviously got the Camp Crystal Lake 70s slasher vibe to it. But that one stars Sadie Sink.
Love Sadie Sink.
Friend of the show from Stranger Things.
Friend of the pod.
She doesn't know we're friends, but friend of the show.
Yeah.
Sadie Sink. And it's a stellar performance. It's so fucking fun. Emily Rudd's in it. You might recognize her if you're watching the One Piece show, the live action version that's doing really well right now. I love this trilogy. And I'm calling it underrated in the sense that people are like, that was fun. But I'm like, no, that's one of the best things Netflix has ever done. And it's definitely one of the best like horror homages that we've gotten over the past few years out of all of the stuff that we've been watching, like Saw 10, which I watched last night, which is good. The Scream reboots, all that stuff.
Can I tell you something about Saw 10 just for a second?
Tell me something about Saw 10, my friend. I didn't know you had anything to offer in the Saw 10 department.
It's just more of a perplexity.
Okay.
In that it might have been you. It was a friend of mine, somebody. It might have been you who was saying like, hey, I'm going to go see Saw 10 tonight. And I thought, you like streaming it? And you're like, no, I'm going to see it in the theater. And I was like, why are they bringing it back to theaters? And they're like, oh, it's a brand new Saw movie. It's the 10th one. And for some reason, my brain was like, because I have not seen any advertising at all for Saw 10. So I didn't even know there was a Saw movie on the horizon. And my brain was like, no, the newest one is Spiral. What are you talking about? There's a Saw 10.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a Saw 10.
There's a lot of Sauls, and it is the 10th one because they left the, how do we say this? They stopped calling them numbers at some point.
Yeah.
So there's Saw 3D, which is not the third Saw. I think it's like the 7th.
Yeah.
And then there's Spiral, which is not even called Saw, which I didn't watch. I actually have not seen 4, 5, 6, 3D something or Spiral.
Oh, so you haven't seen most of them?
No, I saw the first three.
Yeah, I've seen the first Saw.
And when they killed John Kramer, I peaced out.
That's the Jigsaw Man.
Yes, the Jigsaw Man.
Tobin
Hooper?
Hooper something, yeah.
I think so. Bell. Tobin Bell.
Tobin Bell.
Toby Hooper's the guy who directed Chainsaw Massacre. Oh. So I peaced out as a Saw fan, and so did most people, which is why Saw 10 is a retcon. It's a direct sequel to, I think, the second film.
It's not confusing at all.
And he's alive again. And the movie's good. It's great. The movie's good again. So.
Yeah, because I remember, because I've worked at the movie theater for most of these Saw movies.
Yeah.
I remember each one was like, oh, I'm actually Jigsaw. I was the person that survived from this movie that was random. And now I'm crazy now.
Yeah, Amanda becomes, she's from the first movie, I think.
Wasn't Cary Elwes one of those as well? Like, he survived the first movie, but then he came back as a villain in another one?
No, I think the only villains are, like, the cop and Amanda, the people that, like, are protégés of Jigsaw.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But the plot of 10 is that John Kramer, Jigsaw, is dying of cancer, of course, and thinks he finds a cure, and then doesn't go well, and he gets really mad at the people that lied to him. So it's kind of like a revenge thriller where Jigsaw's the protagonist. It's really fun because they realize now, like, this is the character that you like.
Yeah, Carrie Elwes returned as the secret apprentice to Jigsaw in Saw 3D.
Okay, see, I wasn't even... I shouldn't have spoken confidently on that. I just admitted I didn't watch six of them.
You're like, no, you fucking idiot. I'm a...
Well, I will say maybe or maybe not some people appear in Saw 10, and maybe or maybe not Carrie Elwes is not one of them, so I just assumed that probably didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, you know what's good for you, but your brain gets in the way and you just can't quite pull it off. Like when you're trying to fall asleep at night, you know, you got to get up at 7 a.m. You got to work. You want to go to the gym before work. But at 3 a.m., you're just thinking about hippopotamuses, hippopotami. I don't know how to pluralize it. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. So sometimes your brain's getting in its own way. You know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You can help find the blocks in your life that are getting in your way, and BetterHelp can get you there. It can match you up with a licensed therapist to help meet your needs. If you don't like your therapist, you can switch free of charge at any time. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
It's October, and along with the scares, we're bringing our own appreciation for the patrons of Streaming Things, the super patrons especially. We want to give them a special shout out for the month of October. Thank you so much to Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Little Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Butthorn, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun, Loving, Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much, and back to the show.
My last Dark Horse recommendation is one that you're going to scoff at. It's a huge movie. It's very popular. In no way is it underrated. I'm choosing it anyway.
Hold on. Let me get ready for my scoff. Okay. My world famous scoff.
Jimmy, we need Jimmy to come into the studio just to scoff. It's Dr. Sleep.
No, I love Dr. Sleep. I've seen Dr. Sleep.
Yeah. Because people just glazed over. In our first horror villain draft, when I said Rose the Hat, there was like no fanfare, no recognition. This movie bombed at the box office. And for that reason, I think our own beloved Madison was like bored by this movie, doesn't remember it, didn't enjoy watching it.
It is a long movie.
I think it is better than The Shining is my ultra hot take. It's faithful to the book. Somebody in the Discord, we were just talking about it last night, where it's faithful to the book, but also acts as a sequel to the very different and unrelated to the book movie, Kubrick's version.
Yeah.
I know Kubrick's The Shining is lauded as one of the most important pieces of cinema of all time. I'm not even saying that it's not. It's just that for me, I'm a Flanagan fan. I'm a Flanagan apologist. I love Flanagan.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Rebecca Ferguson. And I think that this movie is incredible. I think it does a better job with the lore, the people who shine, all the magic, stuff like that. There's not enough magical realism magical realism, but that kind of horror doesn't happen enough, you know, where you get some kind of like play with the idea of supernatural in a fun way.
Yeah, it's very spooky in that like there's the people who have The Shining have this magical power, but it seems less like, I don't know, Star Wars or Marvel superheroes with magic powers, and more and not even like witchcraft of like witches, but it seems that it has that almost
like an X-Men.
It feels like almost like that Creole, like type of
like voodoo.
Is it okay to do voodoo? But yeah, it has that kind of feel to it, and I think that makes it a little spookier, more real, and more grounded in a strange way. And there's a scene with Rose in the Hat and her followers where they, you know, they kill a person, and it's horrifying. It's like,
yeah, Flanagan does not fuck around. Watch the director's cut. If you have not seen the director's cut, that's the version of the movie that I'm referring to that I think is a masterpiece. I kind of want to watch it today. I might do that, but I still need to see Totally Killer, the new straight to streaming Back to the Future horror kind of movie. Have you heard about this?
Is that the one where she has like a time machine and
she goes back to the 80s, but it's literally the plot of Back to the Future, but as a slasher.
I've seen
clips I think you would love it. It looks sounds fun for you.
I've seen clips of it. It looks fun. Yeah.
I'm pitching all kinds of stuff at you to how to spend your next few days.
Dude, you know what? I got to watch some, horror films in October. It's it's so weird. You know what weird film marathon I've been having this month?
What?
Wes Anderson.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that.
Yeah, because Erica,
I joked, like, great way to spend October.
Yeah. It just so happened that Erica, like, has never seen any Wes Anderson movies. So, like, we started watching them. And each time we've gotten together each week, we've been, like, watching one.
Did you watch any of those short films yet? Maybe to get some extra stuff in?
Not yet. I really do want to watch them. The last one we watched was Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, that was last week. You've been slacking.
Well, I haven't seen her yet this week.
You've been busy.
Yeah.
I've been out of town.
I've been working.
I get it.
People in the Discord know they have not seen old Steve very much this month because my work be wildin'.
You've been doing your best Reba McEntire impression. What Reba? A single mom who works two jobs.
That's me. I got two kids, Pippin and Ellie.
Well, Steve, what's your recommendation before I drop the winner on you?
Oh, have we already gone through four?
Yeah, baby.
Holy shit.
Holy shiteys.
Oh, my God.
I made a word up.
Shiteys? Holy shiteys.
I don't like it. I'm going to use it again.
I'm going to nominate a movie. It came out in 2007. It is a foreign film. It's called The Orphanage.
Actually, I have not seen that.
Have you not seen The Orphanage?
And a lot of people have been telling me to watch it. Someone specifically who's a fan of the pod keeps DMing me saying, please watch The fucking Orphanage.
You idiot.
Now they're yelling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really good. It's the synopsis is a woman brings her family back to her childhood home, which used to be an orphanage for for handicapped children. Before long, her son starts to communicate with an invisible new friend, and some spookiness comes out of this.
El Orfanato?
Yeah, that's the original language film.
J.A. Bayona. I've seen that name.
J.A. Bayona directed
Monster Calls,
Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom,
The Impossible.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very good director. He's very good at
the tsunami movie.
Mm-hmm. He's very good at capturing scary shots, but like that are interesting. Like as a DP or a camera operator, sometimes he gets these shots. I'm like, ooh, that's really good. That's really clever. He's got a great eye, and The Orphanage is really great. I struggle to say it's. I don't think it's super scary. But when it's trying to be creepy, it's effective. And then I think it's one of those movies that has a very bonkers ending. Well, not bonkers, but like a real gut punch of an ending. It's kind of like an, oh, man, oh, no one wins type ending.
Mm.
And so it's one of those that have stuck with me for a while. And it's presented by Guillermo del Toro. And you love...
I love me some del Toro.
Del Toro.
Yeah, I just want to hug that man. Maybe cuddle, I think, would be a better word.
I'm going to kiss him on his forehead.
Just snuggle into his chest and let him tell me a story.
I don't know why. You know the game Death Stranding?
Somewhat.
That game has ruined Guillermo del Toro for me.
Is he in it?
Yeah, they use his likeness as a character named Fat Man. Or no, that's not his name. That's a different Metal Gear character. Anyway, he's a character in Metal Gear, and there's this one scene specifically where the character that Guillermo is working for the government, right, whatever, but he's afraid that their boss, his and Norman Reedus' his boss, is like the bad guy, and he's worried that like, oh, if he's in your apartment's bugged, so he's like doing all this stuff to try to... You know, like he's turning, he walks into Norman Reedus taking a shower and then like closes the curtains. So the two, like Norman Reedus is naked and Guillermo del Toro's like, I have to tell you something. And he's getting real. And it's, and the way it's directed is so uncomfortable.
You need to wash your back.
Yeah. It, like seriously, you could be like, okay, I got to tell you this thing. I think dude's bad, but I don't want them to hear. But no, he gets like really like tenderly next to his neck. And is like, I want to tell you something. He's like caressing his butt. Like, it's like, what? What's happening?
Don't drop this song.
And this whole time, Norman Reedus is naked, but Guillermo del Toro is wearing a full suit.
Yeah, as he would in the shower.
And so whenever someone brings him, I just imagine like, I want to know where your BB is. Tell me where the BB is.
Did you play any Spider-Man 2 yet? I guess you've been busy.
The new one?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, is it?
Are you a Spider-Man fan?
I am. But it's go time, baby. I thought it came out on the 30th, not the 20th.
No, it's everybody's been playing it.
Well, shit. I haven't. Have you played it?
No. I haven't even played
it. Is he in it?
I haven't played the first couple.
Is Guillermo del Toro in it?
No, I just...
Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
I need to tell you something. Tell me, where is Peter Parker? I need to take pictures for me.
That's what I do. Are you ready for the movie you're going to watch this week?
Yes, I am. Give it to me.
I talked about it in the Discord last night in our fireside chat. I love it. I saw it for the first time this month on the recommendation because I'm doing a different legendary horror film I've never seen every day. And a lot of people have been throwing out recommendations for me. It's called Host. It's a movie from 2020.
So it's not the Korean film Host.
No, that's the Host.
Oh, okay.
From Bong Joon-ho. This is just called Host from 2020. It's from Britain, directed by Rob Savage. This movie, I found out, I did a video on the scariest movies of all time, according to science. And they...
According to science? What?
Science, yeah.
What's science doing?
They redo this list every year. The list is already updated for 2023, and Host is not number one. But in 2022, Host was number one.
How did it fall off so fast?
Well, they do a study with 250 test subjects. They attach heart monitors to them, and they make them watch, like, hundreds of movies... Not at the same time, obviously. This takes months. And they measure a starting average resting heart rate, and then they measure the spikes for each movie. So they like, oh, this is the highest spike. Oh, but this is the highest consistent heart rate. That's their measurement.
Okay. So the highest consistent heart rate is the scary one.
Correct.
Okay.
And Host was the winner of the 2022 study. It was the number one, you know, if you want to use a really salacious headline, scariest movie ever made according to science, Host. Right. So that's the setting for this movie. But I think it gets even cooler. It gets even deeper. Do you want to know the reason I think this is the movie you're going to choose, Steve?
I would love to know.
It's only 57 minutes long.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. It is the least time investment.
It's very short.
I also feel like I don't even know if that's technically a feature film. I really don't think it is.
I don't either.
I thought it was like 82 minutes had to be a feature film. But I think it's more nebulous than that. But anyway, I watched it. I put my stamp of approval on it. I think it was fucking terrifying. Again, if you surrender to it, just I watched it late at night. I turned all the lights off. It wasn't a peep around me. And then when I got up to pee and like get ready for bed afterward, I was like seeing things in my peripheral and shit, like taking a piss, like not like, but like just slightly like stop, you know, you're like, you're 35. So you're just like, no,
there's nothing there.
Nope. But it got to me a little bit.
It is interesting how when you're older, you'll still have that.
Yeah.
Those moments, but the way you react as an older person is different.
Like, oh, you remember when you were a kid, when you would literally sprint up the stairs when you turn the light off in the living room? Like, Ooh, I made it.
Last night, I had a moment like that, right? I got back from driving back from Nashville.
Yeah.
I drive into my office where I work. The building that my work is an old restored firehouse from like the... I think it was built in like 1890 or something.
Yeah.
It's an old ass building, right? And so I'm walking through. It's pitch black at one point. In the room next door, I had turned a light on when I was there earlier, walked into the garage, did my thing, turned the lights off in the garage. So now I'm in the dark walking towards a door, and I can see, you know, the light coming from underneath the door in front of me from the next room. As I'm walking up to the door, it looks like there's a shadow standing in the middle of the door as if there's a body right in front of the door. And I register that in my brain, think, oh, fuck, there's someone in that room. But I don't know for sure. I'm an adult. I'm just going to power through it.
Yeah.
So I literally remember I opened the door, but I kind of opened it with a little more stank on it in case there was someone there. And I go, oh, there's someone there. and go the other way. There was no one there, but it's still, it's kind of fascinating. Like when I was a kid, I would just sat there like, I'm gonna wait till that moves. I'm not gonna make a noise. Mommy?
Carol?
Carol, I need help.
So the other interesting thing about host.
Carol.
You want some pancakes?
You want some taco chip panties?
What?
Kyle's mom. Oh, yeah. We got a message of someone saying they miss Kyle's mom.
Said no one ever.
Oh, well, I miss you too, baby.
I'm glad Phil's not here. Cringe at that.
He hates that noise.
I don't blame him.
Oh, yeah?
So from a filmmaking perspective, I think Host is fascinating, too. So it's only 57 minutes long. It is Kit Laser stamp approved, terrifying. Mm-hmm. But also, it's just fascinating from a filmmaking perspective. This movie was made, again, it came out in 2020, at the height of the pandemic lockdown. And so the entire movie, this is a ghost story that takes place over Zoom. So the entire movie is a Zoom call between like six friends that perform a seance, right? Six friends hire a medium to hold a seance via Zoom during lockdown, but they get far more than they bargained for as things go quickly wrong. So each of the actors set up their own cameras, set up their own lights, did their own, like there's, you know, they worked on special effects together and stuff, did their own stunts. And so from a filmmaking perspective, it's really cool because it's just like these are a bunch of people that love film that were fucking losing their minds during lockdown. And then they made this movie. So it's got like the vibe of the headspace of we were in during the pandemic ingrained into it.
Oh, yeah.
But also it's like, God, I was just fucking playing Call of Duty. And I wish I was doing stuff like this, you know, and they made this terrifying movie. Just so it's one of those. Have you ever seen Searching?
Yeah, I love. I was just about to say this reminds me of Searching, which is really, really good.
It's that. It's the whole thing is this computer screen. You can see the cursors and stuff, except you get.
Wow.
It's really, really good. I gave it a 4.5 stars. I just fucking love it for that reason. Like,
hell yeah.
It's super creepy, but also just so cool that they were able to do this, you know, and it works. It was originally a 2-minute short film that went viral. Kind of like a joke idea that he did, like the scary Zoom. You might have seen that, maybe. But then it was so viral that he made the 60-minute version out of it.
Didn't they do a movie like this, but it was like a big budget movie that actually got like a wide release from like a year or two ago, but somebody like no one liked it?
Somebody was saying it's a movie called Unfriended.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
People do hate this movie. Yeah. I think that's from 2014.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense because I remember working through this. So yeah, that would have been
a group of online chat room friends find themselves haunted by a mysterious supernatural force using the account of their dead friend. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So that was pre-pandemic though.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is a Zoom call, not a chat room. It's way different.
Way different, nerd.
Yeah. It's very much like I would if you've seen Searching and you really like it.
I do.
Then I think you'll love Host. And again, my hardest pitch. Ooh. It's 57 minutes.
I mean, that's tough to beat.
I know. That's why when you're like, I might watch Lake Mungo, I was like, buddy.
How long was Lake Mungo?
I got a ringer.
Yeah, let's bring up Lake Mungo real quick and see. Like, I'm curious.
Maybe like an hour 43.
Cause I'm gonna be honest, because Lake Mungo and this one, it's an hour and 27 minutes.
Oh, it's not long.
It's not long. That's also like just in that sweet spot of 90 minutes.
Yeah,
it's less than that.
You're saying Host might be too short. Like, well, I'm gonna have to try to find something to watch after that's a half hour long.
You know, I could probably watch both of these in an evening.
You could.
Then maybe save the watcher for another day.
Just watcher.
Who watches?
Well, I don't want you to watch the wrong movie.
Yeah, like, I'm like, this is a weird movie. It's about a bunch of like celestial beings with big heads that just keep watching the state of Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff.
I don't know. Jeffrey Wright's in it though.
Yeah, he's like, ponder the question with me. What if? But what would you do if next week we get together to record our episode,
our big Halloween episode
on you know, Andy, you know, his whole thing. We record Sandlot. We record what was the
Hereditary,
and then I also show up and say, hey, Chris. I watched three of the five movies you suggested.
I'd be excited. So you're talking about Watcher, Lake Mungo, and Host.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to watch the Fear Street trilogy.
I've seen Dr. Sleep.
Yes.
And that is good.
Yeah.
I would eventually, I think, watch the Fear Street trilogy. Because, you know, it's Sadie Sink. It's got to be good.
It's got some lore.
I love lore. Way better than Data.
You should watch Watcher with Erica. Does she do... I don't know much about Erica's taste in horror films. Not a fan?
Not a fan. Not a fan, no.
I will say Watcher is much more a thriller. It's not even, like, supernatural or anything. Well,
Erica, I don't
it's
know
more of a David Fincher vibe to it than the rest of these movies, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if it would be her vibe. She has some, like, trauma that would go into that.
Okay.
She had a stalker. Yeah.
Oh, she would hate it.
Yeah.
She would hate everything about it. Mm-hmm. And couldn't think of a worse movie, actually.
Yeah. Hey, you want to have a nice evening?
Anything Micah Monroe, she should avoid like the plague then.
Okay. All right.
Because that's just, every movie is just her being stalked.
If you see her on a poster, look out. Uh-oh. Not that one.
Maybe just watch Secret World of Walter Mitty or something. Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Ah, great soundtrack.
Something to...
So you've been doing the whole... Have you been watching a horror film every day that you've never seen? Is that your challenge for the month of October?
Yeah, I'm a few days behind.
How can you be a few days behind, my guy?
Like, I went a few days without watching horror.
Oh, you bitch.
Yeah. Well, for like after like 10 days, I legitimately was not in a good place mentally.
Well, yeah, some of these movies are like
harrowing. And I watched some really brutal ones at the beginning, like Possession and stuff. People getting fucked by octopi. And I was like, okay, this is going to be a long month. Hot. And then When Evil Lurks really fucked me up. I cannot stress that enough. So I fell behind. I think I don't remember why. I've watched a movie every single day. Oh, I watched Killers of the Flower Moon. I had to go see that.
Oh,
and then
that?
Jurassic Park before that. And then Hellboy because I was busy. Honestly, the Velocipaster.
Hellboy because I was busy.
I realize that's a funny sentence.
You know, sorry, I'm busy. I gotta watch Hellboy.
Do you know how like when you're exhausted? Like I watch a movie every day. If I'm not watching, if I don't log something on my letterbox, it's because I was watching TV.
Like you're watching Trolls.
It's not on what I watched is not on Letterboxd is why. But some days I know everyone can identify with this, even though my statement was silly. You get home, long day at work. You edit a few videos. That sucks, too. You got to cook dinner. You do laundry. You clean up.
Been there.
You don't want to watch something you have not seen.
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't have the headspace for it.
Yeah.
So I was busy and I put on Hellboy. Which would take less mental and emotional effort.
Hellboy rules.
And I didn't even plan that. I opened Netflix to find something I'd never seen and scrolled through and was like, fucking Hellboy sounds dope.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
My dude.
So that was that.
So you were about to mention Velocipaster. How was it? That was when I was interested to see what you thought of it because it's like
I hated it.
It's one of those purposefully bad movies.
So my Letterboxd review is funny, but also the truth. That is a movie that I'm sure is very fun to watch with a group of friends because it's intended to be so bad it's good. I do not have friends, so it was not fun in the sense that like obviously.
Buddy, I would have watched it with
you. I know. If we had watched it together, we would have had a blast. I watched it alone and I was like, this is a waste of my fucking time. You know, I was just not.
That would have been a perfect movie to watch like in the heyday with like Andy.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
back in the day, the three of us watching that in the same room at Andy's place.
And you've never seen it either?
I've seen most of it. I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing.
There's certain scenes where it like it'll cut to and it'll just say insert VFX,
yeah, insert VFX shot. Yeah.
It's shit like that. That's funny. But it also the whole movie comes off like. If you've never seen Velocipaster, it's about a pastor, a priest, who goes to China, accidentally comes in contact with a talisman that turns him into a were-dinosaur. So he occasionally turns into a dinosaur. And he goes back to America and becomes a vigilante who fights both crime and ninjas, actual ninjas.
And ninjas, yeah.
Ninjas follow him back. So it sounds amazing. It's not.
Yeah, it's a purposely bad.
He falls in love with a hooker.
As you do.
Ends up fighting her pimp. And there's some funny lines like the pimp. What is his name? It's like Danny Mermaids or something. You know why they call me Danny Mermaids? Because I'm swimming in bitches. You know, stuff like that. Like it's funny. But at the same time, the movie, when you're watching it, you're like, this is like
Frankie Mermaid.
That's even better. The movie watches like your stoner roommate who doesn't have a job or pay any bills made a movie with all of your filmmaking equipment while you were at work and you came home and he's like, dude,
to check it
and
out.
And that's what it looks like. Cause that's,
and you're mad because you know it's going to be more like profitable than anything you've ever made.
I think the lack of a budget in a movie is charming. And especially as a amateur filmmaker myself, like I really appreciate that stuff. Like, oh, wow, you did it. You made a whole ass movie, no matter what it looks like. You know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But there's certain things that are just like the camera angles are not good. Like there's certain like elementary filmmaking techniques that are not employed. It's not that they used $5,000 or that they have like a spirit Halloween dinosaur suit.
Yeah.
It's that like, why did you frame the shot that way? Kind of things that bother me. You know what I mean? Like that looks garbage. Does that make sense or does it sound a dick?
No, that makes total sense.
Like you can, I've seen like Andy can set up a shot with a fucking shitty DSLR.
It look great.
And make it look great. Mm-hmm. Or at least like the framing itself and the lighting. And this guy was just like running around with a camcorder in the backyard with a dinosaur suit and some ninjas jumping around is what it seems like.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
But there's a sequel coming out. People fucking love this shit. I've never been a so bad it's good guy, though. Like, I've never even watched the movie The Room. I just have no interest.
Well, I mean, you have to watch those movies with groups of people. Watching it by yourself completely ruins the whole experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm always alone.
Always so alone. We can watch movies together, buddy. You just have to let me know.
We could have a movie night. We used to.
We're going to watch The Iron Claw together, right?
Yes. That we're going to see.
I do want
to
watch that with
you. You got your A-list back. Is that true? Or did you cancel it?
It is true. It's true.
Because when does that come out?
It's like right before Christmas. It's like the week before Christmas.
Perfect.
It comes out.
Holiday movie.
Like, hey, everybody, bring the family down to watch The Iron Claw, the most...
About the story. I
know the story of what happens to everyone in that. It's not a
holiday
great
time.
No.
Honestly, the end of the year is going to be amazing. We got Napoleon. We got Poor Things, the new Yorgos Lanthimos movie about it's Frankenstein who fucks, basically.
Also known as Frankenstein.
But played by Emma Stone.
So is it Frankenstein or Frankenstein monster that fucks?
Frankenstein's monster who fucks. Sorry. Okay.
The good doctor does not fuck.
Correct. But it's gender swapped too. But it's based on a book that a lot of people love. I've never read that. Napoleon, Iron Claw, all kinds of good stuff, man. I'm very excited for the rest of the year.
Heck yeah.
Hitman, the new Linklater movie. Mm. Supposed to be a sexy movie with Glenn Powell, the guy from Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sex machine.
That's a sex machine.
Also, another romantic comedy with him and Sydney Sweeney. Everybody says looks terrible, but I'm a slut for that stuff. And I'm like, I kind of want to watch that.
I saw that trailer and undeniable. They got chemistry.
Sure.
Undeniable. There is
know that they have chemistry. I think they're just two very attractive people.
Well, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, right.
But that trailer does confuse me because the whole impetus is like, we're going to pretend like we're dating, but the trailer doesn't explain for what reason would they be doing this.
And my favorite
comment.
Very
confusing.
My favorite comment on the trailer was, so are they siblings or I don't.
Yeah. They could be.
Yeah. The way she like dick taps him. It's just like
ball taps him.
Yeah. And there's other movies too, man. I'm really the new David Fincher movie, The Killer, Anatomy of a Fall, the movie that won the Palme d'Or, which I got it's so embarrassing how bad I am at my job. I got a critic screener for that weeks ago, and I watched a half an hour of it, and then I had like a family emergency. It's not my fault, but like something happened where she's like, I need you to come get me. And so I like paused it and left the house, and then there was drama that I handled. The next day was a wedding so I had the baby all day, and then I took her to a wedding. Couldn't watch that movie with the baby. And then when I came back Saturday, pressed play, it said, your link has expired.
Oh no.
And I was too embarrassed to ask for another one. And like, so I just never covered that movie and I've only seen a half an hour of it.
Oh no.
And now,
whoops.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoopsie.
But anyway, there's some underrated horror for you to look into. Watch along with Steve. Stay tuned to see which one he picks. Next week,
leave you hanging.
We're going to be watching and covering Sandlot, a Patreon-demanded movie. The winner of the Patreon poll was Hereditary, so look forward to that. If you're a patron, you can see that on the feeds, as well as a special episode with Andy talking about, I don't even know what, but it's his birthday.
Yeah, it's his birthday on the
30th. He can cry if he wants to.
Yeah, he can leave your friends behind. Hopefully he doesn't leave us behind. But his birthday's on the 30th, and the Discord patrons have something extra special planned for him. I don't even know what it is yet. So we're going to find out.
All right. Look forward to that.
It could be an unmitigated disaster. We'll find it. Tune in.
Most likely, but a fun one.
And Jurassic Park is on Wednesday.
That's right. Look forward to that. We had a blast with Madison on that episode. That's all the time we have for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Ooh.
everyone happy Halloween.
It's not Halloween yet.
Why not just motorboat? It's not a scary thing.
Motorboat that jack-o'-lantern.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.